if you give Jesus everything, you lose nothing. If you give him nothing, you lose everything.
For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the cost of obedience. I've been giving you illustrations and stories from the life of Amy Carmichael in India, and some of you may have a little difficulty identifying with an Irish missionary at the turn of the century in such a faraway place. But there's always a cost of obedience to Jesus Christ. When we say cost, of course, we may be forgetting the rewards that he offers us. He tells us that we can't give up anything that's not going to be repaid 100-fold or 1,000-fold. And I would say to you today, if you give Jesus everything, you lose nothing. If you give him nothing, you lose everything. I've got two letters that I felt were so apropos to the things that I wanted to say today. I want to read you a few snatches from them. One woman says, I have found great understanding during this year and a half while my husband has been gone driving a truck over the road. We've been married almost 16 years, and I'm so thankful for an unusual, from what I can judge, wonderful marriage. Jerry has struggled and run from God for several years until the hound of heaven caught up with him a year ago. He would love to be home and is working toward that end. And then she says that as a woman, home alone, sometimes the loneliness is hard. And she's heard about the criticism heaped on husbands and fathers who are not at home every night. This makes them feel guilty. But she says, this has been such a time of growing in our lives. Each time he comes home, it's like a new romance. The loneliness is hard, but my heart would break over the bitterness of divorce and the permanence of death. I rode with Jerry for 2 weeks this summer. And there is nothing romantic about long-haul trucking. How lonely to sit in a restaurant alone or have a weekend layover and not be able to attend church. He spends time every day soaking in the Word, something it is hard to find time for at home. The cost of obedience. In this man's case, it's driving a truck and having to be away from his family when he wants to be home and be a father to them and a husband to his wife. And then here's a young woman who says, when I quit work, our income was cut practically in half. Remember in my last talk, I told you that Amy Carmichael realized the truth of the Tamil proverb, children tie the mother's feet. And she had to give up her very effective evangelistic work in order to stay home and take care of the children that God had given to her, rescued from temple prostitution. Well, here's a young woman in America today who was working, gave up her job in order to take care of her children, and was willing that her feet should be tied for the sake of him whose feet were nailed for us. Our income, she says, was cut practically in half. We felt then that it was a good possibility that we would have to give up our home. Well, we're at that point now. We sure haven't gotten any encouragement or positive reinforcement from our parents, especially mine. They live here in town, close by. They think we've lost our minds. But we have decided that it's more important for me to be at home with my son, who is now 5, and the one due in November, than to stay and strain just to keep a nice house. I'm ready to be a wife and a mother full-time, not part-time. That's what I've been doing since I quit. But we're going through withdrawal ourselves at the prospect of leaving this house. It's hard to let go of worldly things, no matter how spiritual we think we are. I'm just so aware of how God is stripping away things that I thought were so important. I gave up my name 7 years after I was married, and I gave up my career, now my home, but I'm beginning to see God's sufficiency. It's easy to say sometimes, but when He really pulls the rug out from under you, what do you have left to stand on? Well, we have everything, don't we? We have Jesus Christ, the one who has promised to supply all our needs. Don't be discouraged. Don't be surprised when you find that your obedience to Him is going to cost you something. But the rewards are unimaginable. There are always spiritual battles. Amy Carmichael fought many battles in the spiritual world. The battle of prayer went on every day in the Donavur Fellowship, the work that she founded to rescue children from immoral purposes connected with Hindu temples. She spoke often of the woman's cost, a Hindu woman who became a Christian. And there were a number of those, but there were times in which the death penalty was that which had to be paid. There was misunderstanding. There were Amy's desperate attempts to arouse the conscience of people who could help her do something about child marriage and the custom of widows throwing themselves on the burning pyres when their husbands died and committing suicide in that way in order to accompany him into the afterlife. And people would listen politely. She would contact government officials, and they would often listen very politely and do nothing. She prayed that the Lord would give her fire words, words that would burn to the very marrow of people's bones, figuratively speaking, burn into their consciences. God's answer to her prayer for words was this: "Thou shalt have words, but at this cost, that thou must first be burned. Burned by red embers from a secret fire, scorched by fierce heats and withering winds that sweep through all thy being, carrying thee afar from old delights. Doth not the ardent fire consume the mountain's heart before the flow of fervent lava? Wouldst thou easefully, as from cool, pleasant fountains, flow in fire?" Perhaps I'm talking to some today whose responsibility is public speaking or writing. Do you ask God for fire words? Do you expect that it's going to cost you something? Amy Carmichael says, "Thou must first be burnt." And she tells of contacting 10 men who enjoyed all the talk of what she was trying to do, but they saw no tremendous reason for immediate exertion of any sort. They said that the evil was decreasing. Education, civilization, elevating influences would gradually and pleasantly permeate society. And Amy said, "In the meantime, what about the perishing children?" "Ah, that was sad," they said, doubtless. "That they should perish was indeed regrettable. But after all, how many were really imperiled?" One old gentleman doubted it, though doubtless, he added cheerfully, unaware of the force of his admission, "a change in the law is much required." She said people, in their kindness, tried to distract her from this that could not be forgotten. To be with them, hearing their talk so clear and friendly, reading their books, looking at their pleasant things, was like being in some clean, green field, full of blessed flowers. But every now and then, the face of the field would fall in and discover a vault below. And in the vault, chains and darkness and the souls of young children. That was the work to which God had called Amy Carmichael. What it cost her to write the books that she wrote and to do the work that she did. And I think of how Amy then could not possibly have imagined the fruit in tens of thousands of readers of her books beyond her imaginings. I'm one of them. I'm one of those tens of thousands whose lives have been changed by the writings of Amy Carmichael. I have had so many people come up to me and say, you are to me what Amy Carmichael was to you. And of course, I can't really laugh in their faces, but I know how far I am from being an Amy Carmichael. And yet, if God in His mercy has chosen to use me as an instrument for the sake of some others, can they possibly realize how great is the fruit that has been born in my life because of the laid down life of Amy Carmichael? Another custom, which I believe has now become illegal in India, was this custom of child marriage. And when Amy Carmichael went to the authorities to do what she could to try to stem the tide of child marriages, she was treated casually, sometimes with indifference, sometimes even with scorn. And in that, she had to enter into the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. There is no redemption without sacrifice. If God is going to use you and me for the redemption of the world, we are going to have to sacrifice something. I've just read you the letter of a young woman whose family was going to have to sacrifice their house in order to make it possible for her to stay home and take care of her children, a sacrifice which she felt was well worthwhile. Do you understand why we call this program Gateway to Joy? Well, it's because it's a small gate, and it's a narrow road that we have to stoop to go through and be willing to be limited in order to walk. But the end is joy. Through that small gateway, God leads us out into largeness of life. You have no idea of the rewards that God may have in store for you if you will stoop and humble yourself and pay the price of obedience.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.